WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy, 46 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today, a high of 58. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. In Southwest Iowa news, the Page County Sheriff's Office says two people were arrested following two separate fights on Tuesday. Sheriff Lyle Palmer said 38-year-old Joshua Watkins of Council Bluffs was arrested on a charge of simple assault following an altercation in the 200 block of East Washington Street in Northboro at around 4:30 p.m. Tuesday. Watkins was taken into custody following an incident which also involved Kenneth and Elizabeth Rainey. Watkins was brought to the Page County Jail, posted bond, and was released. A little over 2 hours later, Page County deputies arrested 55-year-old Eric Knisley of College Springs, following an altercation between Knisley and 51-year-old David Stimson in Shambaugh. The alleged assault was the result of an earlier incident. Knisley was charged with serious assault. He was brought to the Page County Jail and posted a $1,000 bond before being released. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Authorities in Red Oak say a Red Oak man was arrested on a criminal mischief charge following an alleged attempted residential break-in Wednesday afternoon. 47-year-old Brian Keefe Ogletree, was arrested for fourth-degree criminal mischief and interference with official acts in connection with an incident in the 700 block of East Coolball Street. Red Oak police say officers arriving at the scene shortly before 5:30 p.m. found Ogletree with his hand through a broken window in the door. The man allegedly tried to resist arrest when officers confronted him. Ogletree was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $1,000 bond. Tips have led to the discovery of three large plots of marijuana growing in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri. Kevin Winker, director of the Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement, said all three sites were in dense timber areas.
They'll clear out some of the timber. They'll leave some of the trees standing there, and then the trees that are left standing amongst the plot, they'll take the branches off up to about 20 feet and leave the canopy. So it allows some sunlight in to help the growing process, but it helps shield the plot from the air.
The Iowa National Guard has flown helicopter missions over sections of the state to help Iowa drug agents find plots of pot. Those three marijuana growing operations would have escaped notice if it hadn't been for tips to law enforcement.
Folks that had a reason to be on that property had noticed that it didn't look right. They contacted local law enforcement, and we were able to investigate further.
According to Winker, the other common tie for those three large plots of marijuana was the people who owned the land either lived out of state or didn't spend much time on the property.
The other thing that we're finding with these that are different than what we found in past years is we're finding encampments at these sites, which means that the people that are cultivating these plants are actually staying on site, which increases the possibility of confrontation for somebody that may have a legal right to be on that property.
Winker advises property owners, farmers, and hunters who encounter an operation like this to leave the area immediately to ensure their personal safety and call law enforcement immediately. This is harvest time for corn and soybeans as well as for marijuana.
The growing season occurs, you know, over the summer, and because these folks are staying on site and cultivating them, they're able to water them and fertilize them and care for the plants in a more efficient manner. So it's possible that these plants or that there are harvests occurring more than once over the summer.
One of the recently found plots was in Taylor County, where law enforcement officials found nearly 4,000 marijuana plants under cultivation. The plants there cut down on September the 14th, and then on September 25th, another plot in south central Iowa's Decatur County was discovered with 571 marijuana plants. That same day, a plot of more than 1,100 marijuana plants was discovered in rural Worth County, Missouri. All the plants were cut down and saved for evidence. The U.S. Department of Justice is sending Iowa a three-year, $810,000 grant to help pay for mental health services in Iowa's drug courts. Dale Woolery is the spokesperson for the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy.
Mental health services are
a growing need. They're something that are not always provided, and especially in a lot of drug courts where you have offenders who may have a dual diagnosis where they need mental health services as well as drug treatment. They may not be getting the mental health piece of that right now. This grant will help provide those services in those drug courts.
The money will be spread across the state.
9 drug courts throughout the state of Iowa, which is most of them, in I think basically 6 of the 8 judicial districts, that will be benefiting from this grant. And these are the drug courts that, because of the way they're set up, will have the ability to provide these services. The drug courts that will benefit from this grant are located in Black Hawk, Dubuque, Pottawatomie, Lynn, Johnson, Scott, Des Moines, and Wapello counties.
The idea behind the courts is to treat the problem to help prevent more problems down the road.
Drug courts, generally speaking, in Iowa have been shown to be effective in reducing the rate of rearrest, the rate of relapse or people who go back to using drugs, and they have shown to be a less costly proposition compared to incarceration. So in general, it looks to be a more efficient way and a more effective way to deal with a lot of drug-addicted offenders.
Well, Lori says not everyone who goes to a drug court ends up on the straight and narrow.
But for a lot of drug offenders, especially those who may have a mental health illness as well, it can be a better alternative. And so we're hoping that with this grant, we'll learn if, in fact, by adding mental health services to drug courts, they can be an even better investment for Iowa taxpayers.
And Iowa Corrections Department Director John Baldwin estimates about 318 offenders with chemical dependency and mental illness will receive treatment services with the help of the grant. Cass County resident and cancer survivor Deanna Spry is on a mission to raise awareness about the importance of having regular mammograms. Between managing the Casey store in Oneida, spending time with her family, and going antiquing, the busy 49-year-old almost missed getting a mammogram last December, but a couple of visits to the Cass County Memorial Hospital resulted in a diagnosis of breast cancer and the decision to have a bilateral mastectomy. Spry is organizing a special event scheduled to take place at Lake Oneida on Saturday, October 13th, beginning at 1 p.m. She calls it Trailing for Tatas, and she's encouraging people to come and walk about 3 miles of trails along the lake and take part in a wide variety of fun activities, including hay rack rides and entertainment. Spry said she wants to make it a fun get-together to create an awareness about breast cancer and provide an opportunity to share stories and support others who've been touched by the disease. Every dollar raised through Trailing for Tatas will be donated to the American Cancer Society, the nationwide voluntary health organization that, among other things, helps to provide funding for research in mammograms. Spry says she tells every woman she sees to get a mammogram because, quote, it's a simple thing, it's only once a year, and it only takes a half an hour. Spry said she thinks that everybody's life is worth that much. For more information on this story, you can look under the same story on our news tab at KJAN.com. And Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and officials from the Iowa Economic Development Authority, along with the Iowa Council of Foundations, have announced the funding of the 2012 County Endowment Fund Program. About $11 million in funding will be distributed to 85 community foundations across the state. Among them are those foundations or endowment funds which are located in Adair, Adams, Carroll, Cass, Crawford, Fremont, Guthrie, Harrison, Mills, Montgomery, Page, Ringgold, Sac, Shelby, Taylor, and Union counties. Each of the 85 community foundations participating in the program will receive about $126,000. Those organizations will then grant 75% of the funds to charitable projects and programs in their counties. The remaining 25% will be used to grow a permanent unrestricted endowment fund intended to attract additional donations and provide a source of permanent funding for charitable projects in the county. The source of funding for the program is 0.8% of the state's gambling revenues. The program distributes an equal allocation to a community foundation located in counties without a state gaming license. 14 counties were not eligible for the funding because state-licensed gaming facilities are located in those counties. And taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, analysts say Republican Mitt Romney held his own last night at the presidential debate with President Obama and gave a solid performance. There are also signs that the race is tightening in some of the battleground states where Obama has enjoyed an advantage. Today, Romney and running mate Paul Ryan are off to Virginia, while Obama campaigns in Colorado and Wisconsin. The number of Americans seeking unemployment benefits is up. Applications rose to a seasonally adjusted 367,000 last week, a level consistent with only modest hiring. The Labor Department says there was an increase of 4,000 from the previous week. Now, tomorrow, the government will release its report on September unemployment. A new survey says employers are laying off less. The outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas says September layoffs were up 5% from the month before, but the August level was a 20-month low. It says layoffs are back to pre-recession levels, but hiring remains very sluggish. More Americans seem to be doing a better job of making their credit card payments. The American Bankers Association says the percent of bank-issued credit cards that were overdue by 30 days or more fell to an 11-year low in the second quarter. But the association says delinquencies did rise on home equity loans, home equity lines of credit, and home improvement loans from April through June. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in the funeral announcements, Alice Isabel Sparling Thompson Bassett, age 94, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Alice Bassett will be held today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Hazel Christ, age 94, of Exira, died September 27th in Des Moines. Funeral services for Hazel Christ will be on Thursday, today at 1 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Carolyn K. Thompson, age 69, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Carolyn Thompson will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Loyal Goff, age 97, of Fontenelle, died Monday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Loyal Goff will be held Friday at 10:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Gail Steffens, age 79, of Wyota, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Gail Steffens will be tomorrow at 10:30 in the chapel at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Daryl Bernard Kanan, age 52, of Erling, died Tuesday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Daryl Kanan will be on Friday at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Naomi DeVos, age 95, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Allen House. Funeral services for Naomi DeVos will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Irene Peterson, age 84, of Shelby, died Tuesday in Harlan. Funeral services for Irene Peterson will be held on Saturday at 10:30 at the United Evangelical Lutheran Church in Shelby, with the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby in charge of arrangements. And James Pierce, age 76, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for James Pierce will be held this Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Perry. The Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.